Join the conversation.
Something else you might want to talk about is the excitement at the news that the rugby season is back. I understand that the first game is scheduled for early October, and a lot of you will have been looking forward to that for a long, long time. But it's not rugby I want to focus on today. It's football. And it's a great pleasure to welcome back to the show author and historian Dr. Dean Allen, who joins me on the virtual couch today. We have spoken to him previously about the history of Mikey's Fontaine, but it is a piece of far more recent history we want to focus on today. Dean was the lead author and researcher of the 2010 Legacy Report, which, as the name implies, looks into the impact of hosting the 2010 Soccer World Cup in South Africa. So 10 years after we all went waka waka, he's going to help us answer the million-dollar question, was it actually worth it? Dean, great to have you on the show again. Welcome back.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pippa. Good to be back.
2020 may be the year all of us are going to want to forget, but 2010 was the year all of us remember in some way, Dean. It seems like just yesterday we could look out of our studio window and there would be soccer fans of every age and race and creed and colour streaming down the fan walk, cheering together. It was such a moment of sort of coming together as a nation. But of course, there is more to a legacy than some happy memories that make us feel good about a moment in time. And while the rest of us were busy cheering the goals, you were already hard at work conducting interviews, collecting data, talking to people and crafting the picture of what this legacy would be. Just sketch for us the background to this report. I mean, how did you become involved? What sort of field work were you doing at the time?
Well, it's quite incredible to think it's 10 years on, isn't it? It does feel like yesterday that we were all enjoying that incredible month here in South Africa when the world was literally looking at us and focusing on this football tournament. I was fortunate enough to be employed at that stage by CPUT, Cape Peninsula University of Technology, and we were part of a program that also University of Stellenbosch, University of Western Cape and the University of Cape Town, that was employed by the city of Cape Town to look at the legacy of this tournament. I'm sure we'll mention the costs and things like that. And it was quite controversial at the time, but city of Cape Town wanted to have, you know, data and research to get the impact of what this was going to do for our city, not only the city, but also the country as a whole. So they employed the local universities, and we got together a team of field workers to go and interview not only visitors and tourists, but also local residents, businesses, to find out what the impact of this thing was before, during, and after the tournament.
Okay, and there are lots of different aspects to that. So let's maybe talk about the ones that are quickly dispensed with that are fairly clear. That from a national brand-building perspective, you said the phrase yourself, the world was looking at us. The event put the eyes of the world on South Africa. It was the first time it was held on the African continent. The fans came from every corner of the globe. As a branding exercise, exposing South Africa to the world, was it a success?
Well, it was quite significant for me. That was probably the most significant thing. I mean, at the time, FIFA was at its height. I mean, you had Sepp Blatter calling the shots, and South Africa, going back to the days of Thabo Mbeki, were very keen to host this tournament. I mean, it's the biggest single sporting tournament in the world, behind the Olympics. So it's known as a mega event. And at that time, certainly countries were clamoring to host something like the FIFA World Cup, because it was an opportunity to actually not only expose, you know, sporting infrastructure, but it's also a branding exercise for the country. And as we know, we love this country, but we know we've got sort of branding issues, haven't we? I mean, given the checkered past and the history, a lot of the world doesn't understand South Africa. So what I found was interesting, what we've written about since, is the fact that the perception of South Africa perhaps changed as a result of this sports tournament. It costs a lot of money to host it, and that was the big question, of course. But I think in terms of nation branding, it was seen as a positive exercise.
Okay, and we'll get to the money in just a second. One other thing I want to touch on first, though, before then, is besides nation branding, what about nation building? I think most people look back on that time with memories of people coming together and being united for once. And it's so often sport that does it for us in South Africa. But it wasn't really a sustainable nation building exercise in the end, was it, Dean?
No, I mean, we know here in South Africa, we've got so many different cultures and backgrounds, but the one thing we tend to get together is sport. We get behind our national teams, even when they're not doing too well. I mean, we've got that passion. And I remember at the time, as I'm sure a lot of listeners do, I mean, how it was incredible. You saw people, you know, experiencing parts of the country and different aspects of the country that they'd never done before, both with foreign visitors, but certainly as South Africans as well. I remember you know, standing there and watching the faces and the different people that were coming together in the center of Cape Town. And then when I traveled to other cities, I realized that this was an opportunity to actually have this social cohesion. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that actually continued beyond, June, July of 2010 is questionable. I mean, many people just sort of went back to living as they did it. They viewed it as a short term, almost like a party, as it were. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that it proved, certainly to South Africans and to the rest of the world, that we could host an event of this magnitude. And not only that, we could do it relatively safely. There were a lot of concerns, certainly in international media, that this was going to be, you know, quite a risk for foreigners to visit South Africa. And that was one of the things I can certainly see as a huge positive, that the rest of the world realized that South Africa was perhaps misunderstood. We could use that opportunity to actually portray a country that was very friendly, not necessarily as dangerous as it is portrayed. I mean, we know we have our problems, that's for sure. But it was an opportunity to, you know, for business and certainly tourism to show that, you know, socially, and also as hosts, we are incredible hosts. We could host this tournament and move forward.
Which brings us then to the elephant in the room, Dean, the cost. I mean, it was an event that cost us billions, that came with lots of expectations around job creation and small business opportunities that were going to erupt on the sides of this tournament, and infrastructure development and economic growth. And yes, some of that we do still enjoy the benefits of the infrastructure development. Some of those are projects that we'd rather not have still with us. There are stadia that still don't pay their own way, projects that never came to fruition, long-term costs associated with this event. From an economic perspective, give us your assessment of the legacy of 2010.
Well, it was a political decision, of course, to bring the tournament here. And I think at the time, the government had to sell to the population that this was going to be worth it. In fact, you know, part of our research, we've looked into the projections. I mean, the in terms of inflation, the cost of this tournament, even prior to the tournament, it was going up, you know, almost monthly. So it was very important that the government kept people on side, you know, promising this, you know, increase, obviously, infrastructure, job creation, that kind of thing. But I mean, in terms of investment, I mean, we don't really, to be quite honest, know the exact figures, but certainly it's acknowledged that almost 9 billion rand was spent on infrastructure alone. I mean, we're not even talking about the stadia, these world-class stadiums that sprung up, and perhaps we're not getting the use from, well, certainly we're not getting the use from most of them. I mean, in things like non-infrastructure, things like sport and recreation, health and safety, security, I mean, millions and millions of rand was spent on that. Whether we do enjoy the legacy of that is the big question. I mean, here in Cape Town, of course, we have a bus service that was created around the time of the World Cup. Road links, perhaps, certainly in terms of security at the time and going forward, perhaps that was something that we still benefit from. But I would suggest that the spending certainly overstretched. We've got to remember that. During my interviews, I was actually fortunate to interview a lot of the key stakeholders at the time, and there was a naivety. They reflected a couple of years after that they didn't realize how much this was going to cost and how little control they would have on that spending, because FIFA at that stage, as I said, with Sepp Blatter at the helm, was really calling the shots. And I think it only came, you know, 4 years later with Rio, and then perhaps even going to Russia, that the country started to wise up, that this party that was brought every 4 years to the country, you know, FIFA called the shots. They demanded that certain things were in place. This had to be a world-class facility. It was all about the brand of FIFA as such. And it was left to the countries to pay for it. And here in South Africa, geez, we were certainly left with a big bill.
Yeah. One other thing besides the economy that this tournament promised us was tremendous investment in the growth of football itself in South Africa, that there was going to be spend not just on facilities for big international games, but on training grounds where teams would practice, that in turn would be left for local teams to use afterwards, that there would be investment in women's football, in youth development of the sport, in grassroots development of the sport. Did any of that really live up to the expectations?
Well, I think you've got to look at the status of Bafana at the moment. I mean, they weren't particularly setting the world alight back in 2010, but we can see on an international stage, they've probably gone down in the rankings since then. We do see in our cities that there was there was infrastructure created. I mean, if you go into some of the townships, you can see that, you know, there were pitches created, certainly these all-weather pitches, which are still used. I mean, I take great delight in travelling around the province and seeing these pitches still there. But no, to answer your question, Pippa, not at all. I think in terms of sports development, we were hoping for certainly for facilities to reach areas that which hadn't reached before, but certainly for improvements, not just at the top level, but at grassroots level. And it's still, sport is still seen as a privileged thing here in the country. I mean, it's still expensive and it's not accessible to all. And I think that was something that we recognised. That was one of the promises that FIFA sort of came with, that this was going to be, as you mentioned, a tournament for South Africa, but not only South Africa, but an African tournament where sport here in Southern Africa would get a boost as a result of this. Now we can, I mean, how you judge that, I don't know. I mean, if you look at the performances of our football teams, not necessarily. I don't think it was certainly a bad thing in terms of boosting sport, because we do know we have a passion for football. I mean, as much as we look at our cricket, rugby and other sports, football is the nation's game. More people play football and enjoy football than any other sport. So that's why it was embraced and, you know, it was enjoyed so much.
We're talking to author and historian Dr. Dean Allen about the legacy of the 2010 Soccer World Cup. Two of you have sent voice notes through. Let's take a listen to those.
Hi, Pippa. Good afternoon. Love your show. Just with regards to the 2010 World Cup, and I'm listening on the radio as I'm driving, quite a significant time was for me too. 10 years ago, I worked on the film Safe House with Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds, and we still used the stadium. If you watch the movie, you'll see it was a soccer game on, and there were scenes shot in Cape Town Stadium and all that I was very involved with. I did the security, VIP security, those years. And yeah, it just brought back a memory. So thanks very much for that. It was quite interesting to hear. Thanks. Enjoy the afternoon.
Great to hear Dr. Dean Allen on the radio talking about the legacy. Yeah, 2010 was... there's lots of good and bad that's come out of 2010. The legacy fund... The spending of the legacy fund is still a clouded scenario. People still don't know where all the money's gone, what's happened to all the money, and how all of it's been spent, and the whole thing with Danny O'Don and all the issues around the money under the table, etc., etc. But some of the positives that have come out of the 2010 World Cup, yes, Papa, there has been some growth in terms of togetherness as a country. But for me, the biggest significant change is that since 2010, our streets are cleaner. People have become taken more pride in the fact that we have a country that is so clean and has been put on the map. Before then, there was litter all over the show, and maybe it's just me, but a few other people have agreed with my view that since the World Cup, the streets are clean. People don't litter, throw junk out of the windows as much, probably a lot less than previously, to the point that you hardly see any litter on the side of the road. So and even the verges are now being cleaned more regularly. It's Alton from Pottery. Have a good day.
Elton, thanks. Great message and interesting comments there, Dean, about, I mean, Elton recognising good and bad in the legacy and ongoing questions about the finances, but he does recognise the positive brand building internalised perhaps, as well as the message put out to the rest of the world. I'm mindful of the time, but Dean, and I do want to mention that this is a subject you're going to be expanding on in a talk that you're giving this coming weekend. Won't you just briefly share the details with us?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. I'm going to be giving a summary of all our findings on Sunday, this Sunday, which is the 20th of September at 6 o'clock. And if anybody would like to join us, we go on Quicket, the portal, and find your ticket there. But I'll be looking forward to looking at the positives and the negatives. Of course, there's a lot of controversy connected to it, but it was nice to hear those callers come in with the positive memories of 2010. And I think the one thing that it did actually do is prove to the rest of the world and prove to us as South Africans, we could actually put on a tournament of this nature and do a very good job at it.
Dr. Dean Allen, great to have you on the show again. Thank you so much. And we've tweeted a link to the booking page if you'd like to book a ticket for his talk this weekend. It's on Quicket, and you are it's at R75 a ticket if you would like to hear to the full expanded report that Dean is going to be sharing. So check out at Cape Talk if you'd like to see the link for easy access to the Quicket page.